Stay tuned for the Puzzling Evidence Show right here on KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. Thank you. Oh, and KZFR in Chico. Jeez, I haven't mentioned them in a long time. Sorry, Chico. Well, maybe you'll get your own station someday.
Right. Bye-bye.
To go on hurting you.
What?
What time is it? I'm listening to you on the radio. You're talking to me, and you're listening to me on the radio. The radio in the presence of the radio.
Well, we've asked everybody here. They've done a special request each and every one
of
you. Get me on my knees. On your knees, Friday night. And listen now, my friend, the prep hour is open right now. You that lean right.
We got the
prayer team.
Time to make a show of loving kindness before my fellow men. Not in this life. I've too much laughing to do.
This
just goes to show.
Like, what is with meaning? You know what I mean? Meaning is so relative.
No, what is reality?
What? Yeah.
Yeah, what is reality?
What? What?
I don't get it. What
is reality? See, we can make people trip right on the air on various toxic substances, bacterial agents. See, some of them only charge 15%.
Reality is what doesn't go away when ...
But let's leave things of this world behind and walk now down the path of Bob for this brief minute of slack from the Church of the Subgenius. This so-called civilization, on the day when we finally realize that things are all backwards and we have slack without work in the promised kingdom of Bob Dobbs, then perhaps we'll find the true civilization, which needs not Xerox machines nor fancy coats and ties. It don't have to have them. It can have them. You can be civilized and not live in a cave, but you're probably going to be more civilized being one of these characters that sits in a cave scratching his butt than you are running around on this treadmill of false slack. Oh, yes, and look at the humans lined up for the slaughterhouse. Oh, yes, the harvest. Praise Bob, let there be slack.
What's going on in the world? I don't even know anymore.
Drug dealer fight.
Would you know if this is a bad omen? If you like,
what happened in the last few days?
I mean, in America, nobody's supposed to know about it. Everybody else knows about it.
They're already doing it?
They're already at
yeah,
war.
They just, like, go blow up somebody's swimming pool
just in time for the election.
Yeah,
all that.
This just came out. The government, Washington, D.C., the government is preparing to invoke special powers to help fight armed terrorist groups in the U.S., including measures that will require people in parts of the U.S. to register, obtain permission to travel, and carry ID cards. The so-called rehabilitation zones.
Good cards.
Which will include parts of between 14 to 32 states, are allowed under a presidential decree issued September 10th that also permits security forces to conduct warranties and hold suspects for months before consulting a judge.
And it can also hold a part between their meals that are connected there.
In the zones, the government can require all residents to register with civilian authorities, restrict travel, impose curfews, and issue special identification cards to local residents, the decree says. Residents of areas where identification cards have been issued can be detained for up to 24 hours for not carrying the cards. A military commander from the North American Command in each zone can collect information about where residents live, what vehicles they use, and jobs they work at, as well as who has permits to carry guns.
Do you remember the old days, Dan, when the Wells Fargo guys and the other, what was the other one, the dicks, you know, the private dicks, there was Wells Fargo, what was the other one, with impunity, they could go around killing people for screwing up capitalism in the West?
Now get this, government officials could not be reached to comment on the plans, but Attorney General said that the powers granted to the state were soft. When the decision is
much like John F.
When the decision is made to create a zone, it is because we are facing the probability that something very serious is about to happen.
Right, fascism is going to take over.
Civilian population.
Yeah, right.
There are new procedures which are being studied that we can use, not everywhere, but specifically where we need them to protect civilians and attack terrorists.
Well, I think that's amazing that he was so psychic to know what's going to happen to us, and yet he didn't know on 9/11 of September.
Now, I did get this off the internet on S News by New Monet. So.
But that is a true thing, because I know I read it in Pain Dealer.
Yeah, I read it on the internet, so and you're hearing it now on the radio. So, I mean, it must be as true as anything else you hear on the radio or read on the news or the internet.
I'm more disturbed by a science article I was reading.
What did it say, James?
Well, it was just talking about that we need to start opening our minds to the possible fact that the universe
stinks.
And all the bubbles of universes that they think exist.
Oh, a fart bubble of God.
No, they're just because we think them.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The eye in the pyramid's right in our own navel.
That works real well until you stub your toe.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden you're not just thinking.
Until you don't wake up while somebody's stealing your van.
It really hurts.
When you smell, you forget to smell
because
the smoke.
We see them, because we observe them.
Oh, yeah,
so we're just because we observe them.
We're just lackluster, dullardly observers.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, Professor, why don't you go into that briar patch and get my kids bald?
Briar stain.
You're just imagining that briar patch.
No, you see the briar patch.
There is no spoon.
So it's there, because you see it. Or if anybody sees it, it's there.
You see the briar patch, but you don't see the thorns.
That makes sense. If anybody sees it, it's there.
You're floating in a sea of briar patches. You just can't feel the scratches.
What's this?
Oh, We might all be killed.
There's a reason for that. You see how those gears are slanted?
Yeah, right.
Right there.
Here.
There.
Here.
Finally, snakes for breakfast.
And it was a very eerie experience.
Yes. Yes.
This is our crack. Now it's on.
Running along the tops
and muscles and all of that was torn.
Yeah.
So wonderful. Pets are considered benevolent in that part of the world.
The ice right there.
Here. There it is.
All right.
Look at that, just like
just
that.
Just that, because it's plastic. You've got to put a red dot in here, because it's so wonderful.
And we were going around and didn't even think we liked each other too much.
Well, you know what?
I don't have a $140.
The end times are near.
Hello?
Hello, monsters are born.
Did the end times come yet? Are we incarcerated? Are we dead?
Are all we just picking up a beautiful neighborhood? Look at this beautiful family transmission. Made from stuffy and filled with your favorite neighborhood kids. Some of them have their asses dangling from the cactus in the backyard, but you're a cowboy daddy. You're ready for this new century.
It extends from the flat below the reptile's eye deep into the womb of Natura itself.
Well, as far as our scientists have been able to determine, the purpose of life is, in fact, simply to squirt, or in the case of some creatures, to ooze. Is it? Yes, that's it. There's no high, lofty meaning of life. It is simply to
squirt and ooze.
Yes, and not for the procreation aspects, just for the pleasure.
The mere ejaculation of vibration.
That's it.
And banging
that's
the nervous system ever so gently.
Yes, if you're looking for a meaning, there it is. Doesn't matter whether it's by yourself or with somebody else. That's it.
You can just take a walk here, pat into your paper head any day here, and get on the bus and get that same sensation as you ride over them old potholes. You know, life ain't much more than a oozing and a squirting and a kind of a dangerous feeling coming up the back of your neck.
I'm gonna rub my little rat back.
Things are growing up there now. They're growing now. Like bad sauce, you know. It's a chain in the top of your head and you can't get out of it. You got to find a way out someday.
Oh, I can't wait to have Bob rub my little round belly over in that rabbit's
supper tonight. Oh, he's going to rub you like a booty belly. He's going to create more slack out of the top of your head than he ever saw.
Oh, Bob, he's a bony sapphire. He's a fully realized enlightened being. He's going to be at that squirrel supper tonight. You going to be there, Kenny?
Hey, look, he's eating barbecue chicken. And I never know bony sapphire enjoyed meat that way. I mean, you know, that way.
Oh, hell, you know, him and Bob go way back. I threw up.
It's hard to pull it out of your moon paints. Tease you just to let it go out in front.
That you going to step up for that now.
why in the world would I be going there, Donald?
I kidnapped the future and ransomed it for the past. I made time wait up for me to bleed my lizard. My infernal breath wills the tree of life. I left my sword on the rock of ages. Who will tear flesh with me? Who will spill their juice? Who will gout with me? Whose candle will I fall out? Oop. I'm ready. So step aside, all you button-looped, neurotic, insecure, bespectacled slabs of limp meat. I'm a crime-fighting master criminal. I am not insane. I'm a screamer and a laugher. I make a spectacle of myself. I am a sight. My physical type cannot be classified by science. My familiar is a pterodactyl. I feed it to eagles.
Have joined my unholy legion of the undead, becoming creatures without souls, living only for hideous torment.
And I think if we continue that way to, you know, do what they said to do with porcine beings, what right. will happen next?
Well, did you write to your congressman
of
about
course
pigs?
I did. I said we would be liberated, and he said he sent back a hand mimeographed, a Xerox letter. He sent back a hand-signed letter, that said, thank you very much, Citizen Dave, for your interest
A place for you in the re-education camps.
We have your room number and your keys waiting for you and your special hot tub. And then I wrote a letter back saying the pork problem is probably the most... The biggest problem we have to deal with in these days of post 9/11.
Well, humanity is in danger of getting thrown out of the cosmic tent party for crapping in the universal hot tub.
The United States Navy is going to build these things that create sounds underwater around 80% of the surface of the oceans, which will kill all the whales and seals and porpoises, and nobody's going to stop them because they're the U.S. Navy.
What do you mean, Ghana?
Ghana.
I thought they already did that. They get the most amazing recordings out of that.
Yeah, the whales squealing in agony as the eardrums explode. Now, that is a song.
By the time they're gone, we'll have figured out their language.
Well, yeah, by the time they utter their last pained cry of
pain cry.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they have vials of whale sperm hidden away somewhere.
Long DNA, then short DNA, any kind of whaley whale you want. How about a Moby Doby? We've got a blue one, we've got the oversized
whale incubators, though, are really big.
Yeah.
And there's a booming business in whale placenta.
Oh, there's nothing better with a little bit of almond extract. Whale placenta, shaved almonds.
You'd like to shave your nuts for the whales.
From each birth.
Oh, yeah?
From those mighty mammals of the deep, yeah?
So they're going to they're making like little quonsets full of whales.
That's what rich people in Japan are doing, man. All the rich Japanese people.
Those are the cool, they bathe beautiful whale people.
Freshly.
It is so lovely on my skin. I just wear a little bit of whale oil on my arms, and look, as smooth as a baby's forehead. And also, look what it's done for my hair.
So it gets you away from the poo-poo stuff.
Hi.
And back into the menstrual placental
The,
my favorite
the plasma the, pod of the beginning.
The primal mommy. The original ooze from which it all sprang. Friends, you and I, each and every one of us, with the chromosomes dancing on the backs of our spines.
Like little egg yolks.
Are like little egg yolks. And can be no more than individual fried eggs. So live it up as long as you can. It's before you're completely cooked.
Do it.
Do it.
Now.
Now.
Do it before your sex differentiates while you're still a yolk.
Before the zygote splinters. Some of us may go in a different direction. There are X chromosomes. There are Y chromosomes. There are now Z chromosomes.
Yes, that's right. Have your genes outgrown you?
What about the anti-chromosomes?
What about them? They're
what
here
about
with
them?
Us, holding their hands and closing their eyes and saying the mantra. The many moods of an alien.
I descended from monochromes.
I ascended from polychromes.
I descended from murochromes.
I am all chromatic activity. Repeat this to yourself. Then sit down and close your eyes, ears, nose, and throat. For this is your good excitement.
What?
Insert transition here.
Yeah, right.
Well, I timed it. I had the
guy. Yeah, you could tell that.
It was a 15-second
amazing timing.
I laughed so hard.
Sometimes
I
slow down.
It really caught me with the timing.
It was a 15-second segue, and Stang was supposed to say something kind of laconically funny, and then you were supposed to say something really silly.
I'm
going to
sit over here and eat my
cupcake. I'll do all that later.
Okay. So you'll make it sound like you said something laconically silly, and then Chaz said something really silly, and then, oh no, that's not going to be it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
These
people are idiots anyway. I mean,
it's not that it's that we show for them.
You sew it together like a piece of stew. You know, I mean, you just flap a shoe in there. You put some of your own, I don't want to say the other words, some of your own stuff in there. You just, you know, you don't really care what goes in there because that you have no respect for your subgenialism each week.
What in the world are you talking about?
Oh, I'm just saying the way Stang so haphazardly throws those hours of slag together. First, he takes all the drugs you can take. Heroin, monochrome, femur, that weird poison from
South America.
Well,
no, that's how you organize each show. You do heroin,
as a
and
theme.
Then you pick certain material for the heroin-based show, and then you do a bunch of crack, and you pick all the material that goes with that kind of a
so you just pretty much living the life, aren't you, man? You just like
and,
out there,
you know, so forth,
living the life.
Down
you
through,
don't really care about your
what, nitrous oxide,
and long jeans, and short.
See, I can't even remember what drugs this show was supposed to be.
You're losing your balance.
This is that cut. That's 15 different Claudine Legere songs all played on top of each other.
Is there a pill to counteract all those pills?
This is a pill. This is the red pill.
Oh, God. Hey, the red pill.
Expecting to fly. Well,
we're all wired into a survival trip now. No more of the speed that fueled the 60s. Goodbye. That was the fatal flaw in Tim Leary's trip. He crashed around America selling consciousness expansion without ever giving a thought to the grim meat hook realities that were lying in wait for all those people who took him seriously. All those pathetically eager acid freaks who thought they could buy peace and understanding for $3 a hit. But their loss and failure is ours too. What Leary took down with him was the central illusion of a whole lifestyle that he helped create. A generation of permanent cripples, failed seekers, who never understood the essential old mystic fallacy of the acid culture. A desperate assumption that somebody, or at least some force, is tending the light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh.
Mrs. Marlowe.
Why didn't you telephone?
I didn't have a nickel.
Oh. What did you find at the lake?
Shut up and give me my number.
Who's being cute now?
You are.
What? Ever try to pull anybody out of the telephone booth?
Yeah, Muriel Schaefer in San Bernardino.
What's this, Crystal King?
Coming to that.
Oh, what man?
The guy I didn't know his name.
Oh. Marlo, where do you usually spend Christmas Eve?
At a gas station on the South Road.
Oh.
Where do you?
In Little Fawn Lake. It's a place in the mountains beyond Arrowhead.
Oh, brother.
Here we are.
How did I get here? 30 days in the water.
Luckily, a sailor came along. What's the matter?
There isn't much left of her. Shut up.
Do you think it's all right to ring our land in a ring of iron? I'm trying to wind it up here. The road goes on forever.
They're exaggerating the harmfulness of uranium. Plutonium, whatever that is.
Spent, I mean,
green stuff is. You just squirt it out of your tube of yours.
Oh, that's an uncommon ejaculating orangutan. It's the use squirting, only it's plutonium and it's spent.
Talk about that.
I can see why they call him Lonesome Cowboy Dave. Popular Cowboy Dave.
No, don't.
Now that was it. Now,
those names are
Popular Cowboy Dave. He was tall. He was rich and intelligent and Christ-like. Popular Cowboy Dave was.
That's a good name. Popular Christ-like Dave. Popular Christ-like Stang. And popular Christ-like Chaz. And of course, popular Christ-like Wee, even though she's a female.
Well, there was Popular Bull Girl Davina.
Oh, Popular Bull Girl Davina?
Yeah.
Was she Christ-like in her apartment?
No.
She's
popular.
No sign.
Like a lonely traveler in the night.
Yeah. Well, okay, you know, that's what happens to some of them when they can't find that spot. You know, when they can't reach down there far enough.
That's me, man.
Yeah, me too. We keep on looking for the itchy, slinging ooze squirt mechanism, and it doesn't ever shine for all of us.
Speak for yourself, Dave.
I am speaking for myself.
We're all
lonesome, lonely stars in the night, lonely lights in the night. We come in alone, we go out,
and you go out alone.
Ships passing in the night, baby.
That's right.
Burn your hair off.
That's the bottom line. You come in alone, you go out alone.
That's why you should spend the night with me, baby.
You first, of course. Sometimes.
To make this loneliness end for just a little while. Just you, me, and Bob. Come on, what do you say?
For my new Christ life, just for a moment.
But you haven't seen the other cages.
They pay no heed to us.
You notice that? They have their world and we have ours.
But those who have chosen to deny my existence have sometimes found me a most deadly enemy.
We don't know how to do it.
possessed during a normal daytime show.
So this show is like the fantasy world here. Mary Jane or Gage Bug Girl. And X-Day is a fun place to go.
Yeah.
Things like that. Weird fantasies.
Weird fantasies. Where, you know, here's the deal. You can escape your own brain on this show.
You can.
You can do it.
We do it.
You can
snatch
your own little personality right out of your skull, fiddle around with it, get it dirty, put it on the ground, watch it, pick it up, flop it around, stick it back in there. There it goes. You let go of it. Why'd you let go of it like that? I hope it's not broken. What is that sound?
The needle's horribly bent.
One. In this one?
Yep.
And what happened?
Needles are bent.
Channel?
If you bend the needle, can you sew loops? If you bend the needle, like in a half semicircle, sew a loop easier, you know? It's like halfway there. It's halfway there. You can make loops. Don't you use loops? You're one of those loop guys, aren't you?
Yeah, who uses
a
record?
You're kind of a looper. I think you're Mr. Looper or something, aren't you? No, I didn't. I tried to get the Walmart plan in there because it was a problem we have in Santa Rosa, and that's why I'm scared. I don't know if I should go. I live near Santa Rosa. I don't know if I should go home tonight because I'm reading in the paper that Walmart has invaded Santa Rosa. They invaded it. They used their little army. Now, the previous disc jockey, the previous show disc jockey and I, the last show disc jockey and I had a great idea. We think that we should get all of the bulimics in the Bay Area to go to the Walmart in Santa Rosa. We're going to projectile vomit on all of the aisles, mess it up so that when the new patrons come in to take advantage of the convenience and the low prices, we'll be there with our vomiters messing everything up in protest of the invasion. Now, we know, subsequent to that, Walmart will pull the janitors out, the amazing Walmart janitors, to come in there and clean up the mess we've made. So it'll be up to us to provide for our vomiters to then begin vomiting on the janitors. And pretty soon, it'll just be really, really bad, and they'll leave town. We know this will work. This is a strategy that worked, and I think, wasn't it somewhere in Nebraska? Where is he? He left, I guess.
Yeah, he's not here.
I guess he's gone.
I don't know what happened to him.
What is this? Chilling and dying and stuff. Oh, murder and mayhem. So I gave him a plan. I'd like to have some opinions. We need to have some opinions from the caller base to tell us, listener base. Tell us what you think of that plan, that Walmart invasion plan that we have to counter the invasion of Santa Rosa.
Nobody calls them right all the time.
Yes, that's another idea that when our vomiters get tired,
did you guys discuss that problem?
Yeah, we've been working on this as an issue, as a real...
The saving of your town?
The saving of Santa Rosa. By, you know, it's a peaceful protest we want to put on. We're not going to be carrying any other weapons other than the things that... the food baggage we can keep in our stomachs.
This one's...
So we need to have our janitor counterattack team... We need people ready up there in Santa Rosa to start putting out sandbags, digging entrenchments, you know, where that's where you get your entrenching tool out. And you show hole. Yes, we're going to be staying up late tonight for you, where your voice will be heard all over the world. So all you callers worldwide who can call right now.
On the ham radio channel and on the internet channel.
On the internet.
And on the little tiny caller channel. Now in evidence. There's a little caller. See them coming around the edge of the planet.
What about a robot?
I'd like to investigate what's driving our latest vehicle in wet terrain.
Okay, yeah. I've got the little caller in a glass tube here. No, sorry. I took the top off for a minute.
Exposed the caller to air, and now his skull is shriveling up.
Oh, I can't help it. A little bit of on
air.
He's
becoming desiccated as we look at him. Put the top back on so the collar doesn't shrivel up completely. If you'll spit in there, maybe he can absorb the moisture and reconstitute himself.
That's disgusting. Pull yourself together, man.
He is coming back together.
Oh, there we go.
Whatever happens,
hey,
common decency. Who's going to fight the next war?
The good thing about it, the collar has been completely unaware.
Little tiny rubber robots.
They'll do it? Well, that was better than the arrangement we've got now. But what if they turn on us?
All the little, sort of like in the movie, there was a Tom Cruise movie about the future. We do like this with your computer.
Rubber robots.
The spiders that go down the hallways, that go under the doors, that go from the bath scenes.
Needle spiders.
Look at stuff. And look for your brain.
Yeah, they come and feel you.
Like that.
The little spiders.
The little things that go into your eyeballs.
Yeah.
What was that?
Spiders. That's some kind of high-tech nanobot.
Oh, no,
buddy.
I'm talking about the island. Did you see that one?
I
wish I did. I missed it. I couldn't see it.
That has a place in it where these little nanobots invade the person by crawling into their eyes.
My humble optics are infested with nanobugs.
Shut out.
Now the skies are eternally dark. The image of scurrying widgets eternally clouds my vision. I'd look at it if I could, but all I see are black spots the size of thousands, millions of tiny little wiggling hobo bugs.
The little camera that's on the collar is very, very
low res. Oh, the collar? He's responsible. If I could only see, I'd get my hands
up. I ran across a statue that beneath it had enshrined.
What are you doing driving on the Acropolis and running over statues? That's no way to represent our fair land.
That's why they hate us over there.
If only I could.
People like you jumping into cars and driving over there.
Ugly Americans. Bring me my flaming sword.
I have a feeling that this nice, amiable couple on the phone here are leaving behind a gruesome magma-like trail of slime.
All right, well,
something that's infectious to the touch.
You put on a rubber glove.
It's plague-ridden.
It's seething and pungulating with insectile forms. But then what is it?
Well, our terrestrial dimension, our perception would be akin to an assault of myriads. Aphids.
But these same aphids could catapult us down through corridors of infinite hexapodal madness into a necrophagous, insect-infested abyss.
What a nightcap.
It happens every other day.
Insect-infested abysses.
You know, this isn't even as insect-infested an area as some sectors of this quadrant. There are some places where gigantic subterranean ant colonies, hundreds of miles in length,
infested with these little mechanical worms.
Well, this is I'm only talking about the natural world. They're threatening to launch a new generation of horrors, the artificially created, synthesized nanobots, coming in vast clouds of tiny buglings. And you know, we don't even make them. We don't manufacture these objects. They're made by other robots who were made by robots before them, heuristically designing themselves in underground factories. And I tell you,
made by the mighty robot in the sky.
Well, that's what some superstitious robots think, but they think that there has to be a builder behind
it. Lord God Robot.
But other robot theology suggests that the eternal creator was a giant calculating machine, a big brain.
It was a one-celled robot.
It had many cells ultimately. Of course, it, once again, heuristically multiplied its original circuits.
You had to pull a big lever on its side.
Divine consciousness and being. And went online back at the beginning of all things.
Remember that part?
This giant robot, although it manufactured all existing robot lines, which are in existence today, having done so, fused its circuits permanently and died eternally. To
remember,
save all living robot forms from their sins and design flaws.
It didn't have power of its own.
It has no more power.
It only had mechanical power.
But in the old days, it had
power. It had like a horse.
Now, this isn't talking about souls and other nonsense
like
this. This is talking about electrical energy, which is generated, you see, even though it is lost.
This is done by horsepower.
Oh, well, there are many horsepower in these robots, but old Dobbin doesn't have anything to do with it, even though at this present moment on our primitive globe, much of the labor is still done by animal power. That's right, musk oxen and horses. plowing along on a spindle, grinding some able
wheat. People know that's how the internet really
and
runs.
That's how it works. But
it takes millions
there's
of
a revolution coming in electronical doodads.
Thousands and millions
and you
of
are
hogs.
Already a slave. You with your incessant demands for iPods and Palm Pilots, tchotchkes and trinkets, which only serve to enslave you to the robot overlords.
I had a good bunch of hogs one time. Stayed real close to my house.
Get away from there.
You know where it is, right down yonder.
Porch. It's up a piece up the road. There's a twisted Dutch stump. You can't miss it if you go 2 yards or furlongs, really, past the stile
back
where
we knew
Farmer
Skinner
Ficus was eaten by his hogs. He fell into the pen,
and
the hogs got to him before we could.
With our hogs.
Yes, today there's a Walmart there, or as they call it in their colorful local parlance,
sure.
The Hog Mart.
I've
it
heard
has
a lot
devoured
of ghost
all the local businesses.
Hogs. I saw a ghost hog.
And of course,
one time.
The Hell's Angels had their famous rally in front of it that devolved into a punching and bitching
and my
contest.
My grandpa fell down
this
in the graveyard with the hog.
Well, yeah, they had their party in the graveyard. With they released Pegasus,
you know,
a 700 pound pig.
When he's a boy, they just said, "Hey, Rowdy, come on over here."
Yar.
They said yar back then. They meant here, but they said yar.
Yar.
I didn't look over old Rowdy's shoulder.
Daniel Boone killed a bar. Yar.
Running in the Rowdy's
minority
ghost hall.
Mayhap. I reckon Daniel Boone
crawling
and
I looked over and I said, R.L., that's a damn
under
your
door
right there.
Yar.
And then flying into your hotel room.
And I rode up and where I could see a little better. And there I said I could see a hall.
Yeehaw! I see him too. Load up.
Yes, sir, but it weren't nothing to us back then, because I still couldn't tie my own shoelaces.
Oh, too fat to bend over.
I was too little. I was only
now, don't worry. I'll do it for you. I'll just kneel down
no
on my
shoes back
arthritical
then.
Joints here. How do you tie a Windsor knot?
I didn't even have feet back then.
Hey, what? You're pulling these things. Don't have laces.
I just had long tentacles.
Ew, they're flopping and squishing. Well, you're not supposed to reveal yourself to the humies. What is this? We're just losing. We're becoming like them. We're becoming horrible, wet, squirming bags of unfulfilled desires. To be like the human. To laugh. To love like the human. To snot and fuss like the human. Is this what we're coming to?
Well, yeah.
And then you cut away to the Matrix scene.
Is this part of the plan? Great guy.
Agent Smith talking to Matamoros or whatever his name is in the chair. You know, humans, the smell ran.
Matamoros. Ancient Matamoros.
That's where we'll drop the edit.
They're going to do a Morris dance. Oh.
You should never bring that up on the air.
Well, it's a ritual that we'll be getting into here shortly. It's called Lord of the
Took any stock in them old wives' signs about bad habits.
Lord of the Sack Fantasy is a fire sacrifice that occurs within the body and within
the
spell range of the sacrifice. Stammering back, we can see that this text is somewhat ancient
when I rode off
construction. And in
one of Bubba's dogs took up at my house. Always before I left, horseback or in the wagon, he'd follow. But this time, he just sat at the front gate and howled. That was little T.E.Q. But I'd heard dogs a howling before.
Sacrifice?
That happened, and I didn't pay him no attention.
Maintenance?
Well, sir, I'd gone maybe a quarter mile when I seen the second sign. I looked up ahead, and just off the road in a patch of weeds, I see a big black snake's head sticking up.
Yeah?
And Addie had always told me that the devil used snakes to carry messages, and when one took time on his errand to
well,
watch
you, know, the snake
you was
been
fixing
used
to have some
God.
Bad trouble.
Around the world.
Well, after the howling dog,
religion,
whether you actually believe in them or not, you know
snake.
The signs, and see
Gram
that snake, well, it made me think on just how
and
much trouble
Pantala.
I might be letting myself in for. When you go confessing to a cowman you stole some of his stuff, you're asking for it. Them old-time cowmen would generally see you got it. A Texas longhorn right up the wazoo.
Practice,
and I ain't a kid.
Practice,
no matter, though. Portion. Whatever he done afterwards, I had to get it off my conscience.
Binding text.
I guess I'd gone maybe another half mile when I heard a kind of croaking
tonight.
Up ahead.
They
and when
found
I looked,
us tonight.
It was a
here
buzzard sailing along nice and easy.
Within our
they
own
do.
Realm.
He made the same racket. Two or three times before he sailed on out of sight. I've heard them do that when they're feeding around a carcass. But that's the only time I ever heard one do it while he was flying. Superstition or not, when the third sign
you know what
showed
you've been up against.
The surest one there is in trouble for. I'd always heard that. I got a few chills up my back. I got scared. It was spooky. I couldn't see doing that, though. It should mean another day and night of having it on my mind, and I had a feeling I should already tend to do it. It'd be a hard chore, but I was ever going to have another date with an easy mind, I had to tell Mr. Smith.
Man, this show is crazy.
I mean, Mr. Stang. Stang, I'm sorry. Stang, I meant Stang.
This is just nuts.
Oh, I did it again.
I'm just going to watch JFK.
You can go back. You can take that part out.
Back and to the left.
You don't need that part. You can go back and remove that in post.
You will solve the Kennedy assassination mystery.
Really?
That is your task for your weekend project.
I can get away with that one. Is that all right? You just cut it out for
me. No,
and,
I was.
And he doesn't need to hear.
Sunday, when you come down
it.
To the church,
you know, nobody cares anyway.
Bring your sack of money this time.
Yeah,
not your sock of money. Your sack of money.
Get a life. Don't listen to the show.
Well, sure. I'm sure you have something better to do, like unearth that old pachinko machine in the garage and start to plink in it.
There's a giant diamond underneath that pachinko machine.
I believe I saw that diamond first. I just shut.
Be quiet. Here she comes.
She's almost here.
Is she wearing heels?
On her head.
Good God. She's walking transversely, obtusely, and upside down.
She's sort of like inside out and backwards all at the same time.
Mama, buy me that.
Inside, outside, front side, back side.
Yeah, her front side looks a lot like her back side, but her outside is inside, if you know what I mean.
That's why the back side looks like the front side, because
actually,
once
an eminent
the outside
scientist
is
come
inside
up with that
and the inside
theory,
is outside,
Sir
everything
Desmond
is just
Morris,
pink on the inside.
In his book, The Naked Ape, which is about a bunch of
it looks like
apes
a naked
running
hideous
around
gelatinous
bird
bag of meat.
He said that the bazooms developed to fool primitive into resembling
here, look at those bazooms
the,
with this
the,
night vision scope.
Well, as it were, the
here,
buttocks.
Take this night vision
now,
scope.
This
check
is
them out.
I'm going to check them out in a minute, but I'm just saying this is not my theory.
Discover what it's like to see in the dark.
Eminent anthropologist, Dr. Desmond Morris.
Its sky is a dark gray shroud.
Whoa! A dark gray shroud?
Shout.
Oh, shout. Oh, well, go
ahead. Smell.
Written scan imaging security badge.
Oh, my God.
Eyes forward, please.
I'm supposed to get a retinal scan RSI here.
Security scan.
Excuse me just
progress.
A second. Don't you know, if you don't do this right, they get... Oh, hold on.
Retinal scan imaging for access.
You have to let them shine this light into your eyes. If you don't look right into it, you go blind.
It's too bright. It's
not bothering me. It's good.
I can't see clearly anymore.
I'm trying to
all
hold still.
Give me a big green dot in front of my eye.
Is it finished? Can I take my eye off this thing?
Yes, you can take your eye out now.
It's stuck. I gotta get my eye off this thing. It's got like glue on the tube.
Don't tell him he has a big black circle.
This isn't funny. Come on, this feels like it's gonna tear my skin.
Now look in the other eye.
I already. Uh-oh. And
not
the whole
only
show.
The eye.
I'm sorry.
Not only the eye. Now we have to bleep you.
Yeah, now
the
they're reporting me to the bleep squad. But that's all right. That's kind of insurance that you'll go back and bleep
screamer.
That other bleep while you're bleeping
here,
this
take
bleep.
These pills.
That bleep was a bad bleep, and we can get in trouble for that bleep. But I
here,
want you to
roll of
take that other
roll
more
toilet
important
paper.
Bleep. Where'd you get that toilet paper?
Out of the toilet.
Well, it looks you can't. This is radio station property. You can't.
Not this toilet.
That
toilet.
Oh.
That one outside.
You mean the leper's toilet?
Wow.
You
know, streaker leper.
I was just watching the flyby camera to look at that caller's mullet. The guy was just...
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
man,
quite
was,
a mullet.
It was blowing in the breeze.
Must have got it out
He's
of a fish
the,
farm.
East Pleasanton BART station. Flying
it
along.
It used to be a Pleasanton BART station,
know,
but after he was there...
Until that rock and roll techno thing happened.
They brought that projectile
it's
vomiting squad.
It's the love
squad.
Parade. It has started again with the techno music from the sidecar of the motorcycle in California.
Hey, if you've got cabin fever, we'll tell you the secret escape techniques you can use right
I
now.
I got cabin fever. Well, this is quite nice and all, but...
Well, if you're a cab commander, put the brakes on vehicle clutter and call 848-4425 right now.
And concentrate on the pure, bright, white light of utter ignorance. Yes.
They're big, they're
those
brawny, and they're loaded
for the
with
Vedas and Brahmas were wealth, power, health, prosperity, and success during one's lifetime, which, it is hoped, will be long. And after death, we also promise immortality in heaven.
Crush it, stuff it, fold it.
The priest and sacrificer, raised in the ritual to the status of gods, anticipated in a temporary way the permanent reward that could be won. And just look at it. Yes, it's not so great for the acolytes, the servants. This
I'm
is
sorry.
Their penance.
I didn't mean,
they have to do whatever we want.
So hard.
These naughty women were misbehaving in the first life. And so our enjoyment is, according to the wisdom of Brahman, their penance also. It was assumed at first that immortality once gained was a permanent state. In the latter Brahmanas, however, the fear arose that even this state was not free from death. You hear that, folks? After you die, you gotta die again. The whole thing's a setup.
If the whole thing's just a cycle, you get...
Don't you realize that if you live again, you're going to have to die again? This isn't to perpetuate life. It's to perpetuate death. It's stacked against you, so you die forever. And
why can't
each
you
time,
just say you
believe
live forever?
Me, it hurts.
What about the living part? Isn't that worth it, though?
Well, that's if you fall between the two worlds, then you become one of the living dead. Neither dead nor alive.
Does that, would that include a complete 40-piece socket set if I send in my money today?
Yes, it does, Overman. With its wormy eye
sockets. If you call Ivan Asper Bob, we'll give you a two-ton push trolley
forward
right now.
On its breast while its lolling, blackened tongue wags obscenely back and forth with every shuffling step as it comes to move in next to you and your family. Cause real estate values to plummet and the economy.
You're falling backwards on your duty.
We'll get to that in a moment.
I'm all screwed up. I'm a mess. I don't remember your name, but maybe I can guess a lady. Have mercy on me. I've been drinking Costner, baby, since half past three. Boy, Costner, it's good, you know, it's a fact. You drink too much, get a monkey on your back. But only, I ain't give you the news. Well, my mind's in the mind, I got the Cody Costner blues.
I know a lot of people listening right now are waiting for that 5-hour Swingin' Love Court show, you know, where it's just 5 hours.
Yeah, 5 hours of pure Swingin' Love Court.
I did that once. I think it was 2 hours.
We're actually going to do it. Next, is it next week?
Is a 5-hour marathon?
No.
But any old time we need to, we could
Something happens. Something happens next week. I can't remember what it is.
Yes, Sonya Miles is going to be here next week.
Oh, well, okay. Well, thanks for reminding me.
And then the Love Corpses will play on KPFA.
Some
94.1 FM.
Some other day.
The radio dial.
Not the day
KPFB
when Sonya is
Berkeley
here.
KPFB in KFCF in Fresno with KZFR in far-off Chico, California.
Are you kidding?
No, okay. My dear son.
Okay.
I kiddeth not. What I say is so. No, really. She gave me a call.
What if the UFOs come?
She apologized for not being able to be here tonight, but she couldn't.
Who's that?
Sonya Miles.
Damn.
Next time, old chum.
Call out Executive Action Crew 6.
Know if that's
who
happen.
Knows? We might even get Michael Pepe to come on the show.
94.1 after KPFA.
Yeah, that's right. But I was saying Michael Pepe.
89.3.
Of what interest is this to them?
Yeah, but what about Michael Pepe?
88.1 KFCF in Fresno.
Once again, the name of Michael Pepe is mentioned.
96.
We must be avenged.
I thought it's our policy to say Michael Pepe as many times as we. Well, that is, I always thought. Unless someone changed that policy.
So Michael Pepe right now, if he were alive and awake, he would be listening and looking out the window and he would see Martian centurions marching down the street towards the
apartment. But he's missing it. Yeah, he's asleep. Well,
so, okay, yeah, you got to call me and let me know. If that's a sure deal, then I'm going to sleep.
Nah, he's asleep with little angels dancing around in his head.
Oh, that's kind of cute,
always
you know.
A painful experience.
He must have been tired. He must have been up doing what he does. And, he fell into an enchanted slumber. Where now the little angels fly around.
We just did our special invocation of the radio station gods.
Yes, we did, didn't we? Because that's what this is. It's radio. It's radio. It's radio.
It's radio unless you're on the internet like the Overman is right now.
Yeah.
He
then
just kind of throws himself into the screen.
Audio.
If you saw the scene in Tron,
dribbling audio,
you know, where the famous guy's son
D-resolution
is sucked right into the...
Jeff Bridges.
into the screen.
By Bo Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens. And he's
nice
got a really
effect,
cute
exactly.
girlfriend in that movie. And not only that, the music... What? Tron... music at that scene is actually a reference to a classical piece which, as a leitmotif, has to do with the translation into an etheric realm of fairy.
Of what?
Poetry is might. A donkey brays at midnight. Before you know it, love sets worthlessness and worth aright.
We're required by the
planet,
Alien Sedition Act to send these codes
line,
every hour
he has ideas,
to our brave
love
and
passes,
irresponsible...
Life broadens the mind.
Irresponsible 54 secret agents on the
Something
internet around the world.
Something seems to have bewitched my senses today, though it does not conform to reality. I see fiercely swaying treetops,
yeah.
wheeling crowds, fluttering shawls,
heaving
petticoats.
Philo keeps saying it's huge.
Ripply water in ponds, the chaotically ruffled feathers of swans and rare ducks.
You know what's unbelievable? It's the only way I can finish the edits on my three-quarter-inch tape.
A gentleman
is to come in here during Over the Edge and use those machines.
The sun floats
because there are no more in the building.
Now the moon
is all gone, except for right here, and I'm realizing I didn't do that.
With thousands,
they put the tapes in the little steam baker thing.
And my friends, in 2 days, the moon will be at the full.
And you edit them, and you get them to some other medium before the technology is gone out of your hands.
Of its eternal brightness.
Like VHS, like everything, God do it. Even
your
online listeners will be amazed at what happens in the future.
Loping along under the moon's lambent rays in the state of full light anthropic transformation.
God do it.
Ahead of me walks a young woman with legs like bananas. An Asian, a half-breed.
Certain experiments are now taking place.
I cannot make out her face, but a good portion of her thigh is there. A Korean? No,
that's a Michael Pepe.
Autumn leaves slide over the gravel paths. The park.
You know, it's really neat. In my mind, during this scene, I kept seeing the saucer has landed right outside Burning Man and walks over to shake hands with Larry or Sting or somebody. Yeah, and that's
out of the saucer.
And then, but it's all the playa, and there would be people sitting up on that little mound below Soldier's Peak that seeing far out, sitting on the hoods of their BMWs, just like at real Burning Man.
Yeah,
and then the aliens would go.
So you want to see Burning Man, do you? We'll burn every man that we see.
Yeah. See, I thought it was all just this in-joke.
The female mans and the four-legged mans we will also burn.
Since
you like so much.
This division and schisming of the churches just gets out
of hand. We have been monitoring your broadcasts for centuries, and we saw you burn this man. So we thought, great idea. And we came down in our giant fleet of indestructible spaceships and started burning every man we saw. Every two-legged, carrot-forked biped crawling around on the pusillanimous surface of your pitiful planet, which will be bulldozed to make way for a giant shopping mall in outer space. Oh, all right, I'll stop. And we'll hear what Michael Pepe has to say.
That's what they say, but...
Speak, you know, memory. It's time, Michael Pepe. It's time.
From his,
time for you.
Oh, you're going around the planet,
the Beeble Burble that we like to babble at the center of the universe. Yes, Michael Pepe, this is your moment. Your once in a lifetime. And though it may be but once in a lifetime, you're going to do great things. For once in a lifetime, a man knows a moment. A wonderful moment when fate takes a hand. And this is your moment. Your destiny calls you. Prepare to explore a new and exciting land.
Michael, if you were only listening right now.
Boy, isn't he? I thought he was ready to come on. We've got this fanfare.
He's not listening?
Oh, crap. We have this great introduction, and now he...
Once in a lifetime.
Well, that's too late, Philo. He hung up. He rang off. He didn't. He thought we... I guess he must think he's a little bit too good for us. He thinks that we're beneath his notice, huh? Is that what he thinks? Well, I got something for him. I got something for Mr. Michael Pepe.
You were having
look
a dream about
see
Michael
what I got
Pepe
here?
Again. Hey,
see,
Hal,
this
you were having a dream
I
about
to...
being with Michael Pepe again.
It's
cool, man.
It sounds like some kind of... Well, you know, I won't say it on the air, but not my idea of vengeance.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
It's an arrestable offense because we've decided that you can be arrested for certain things in areas that are designated high drug crime areas. It is not an arrestable offense on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. That's a policy decision. We've made a decision that we are going to invest in black communities through the criminal justice system and in no other way. That's a decision. And so, you know, I mean, that don't mean that the officer, you know, shouldn't have got fired the day as he would. That don't mean that at all. But if that's your standard, if that's the enemy, you're just going to keep coming back again and again and again. And you end up talking about individual officers, which, I mean, in its own way, it's actually a really conservative formulation of the question. Because it says if I can get more individual, moral, correct acting officers in place, then maybe we can fix this, as opposed to looking at entire systems.
Advancing the conversation to abolish racism for over 70 years. 94.1 KPFA. Lettucey.
It happens all the time like this. That one person will be right there. And she was just crying. All right. We were getting ready to sing. All right. I hadn't even got the words out. She was already in it. And her eyes, she was not too far away, but I just had to tell her to come here. And I held her hand and sang, and I said, see, I had a bad day. I've been performing, and I got it all out, and I forget what I do. See, you better remember, this is why you're doing it. You belong here to do this. This is your calling, is to ignite something in people, to make them, let them know that they belong too. It's bigger than me. It always has been bigger than me.
KPFA, storytelling for social change.
This is KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, and 88.1 KFCF in Fresno.
Not there. Not my idea of vengeance. No, sir. As soon as the sun comes up, I'm going to go over there up by the ridge. I'm going to get out my special blade, the kind I use on Michael Pepe. And I'm going to go over to his sleeping bag there, right over by the jungle hammock there. I'm going to go over and I'm going to make a slit. I'm going to make a slit in that bag, and that slit I'm going to make isn't going to stop at the bag. No, sir, that slit is going to slit Michael Pepe from his goggle to his zatch, it will. It'll open him up like a can of peas.
For am I not Destructo Man?
Oh, wait a minute. No, I am not Destructo Man. That's somebody else.
It's a dream.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I got a little off the track here.
Well, it's out here. We're burning all the Christmas trees in the world in one place.
And okay, well, I got my double lockback folder now.
Philo, Michael Pepe won't wake up.
How many good one listeners do
what
we
makes
have?
You think? We have 54 one online listeners.
I was just having a little fun, but he won't get up.
54. Online listeners, and it's not Michael Pepe.
Well, what happened to him? Why
did
he
get up? Do
you
remember when we used to go out to that sod farm and we'd walk out to the middle of it and we'd all be like completely...
Busters.
We'd all be completely wasted, and we would walk out in the middle of the sod farm carrying our bongs and our bottles, and we would lay down
like
out in the sheep middle. Dip out
it
in the
sounded
middle.
A lot like this. There would be these crickets chirping, these frogs kind of clurping, and the flirping and derping going on by the other forest little animals out there.
Just
all
for acres
about.
Of special grass.
And we would walk for miles into the middle of this gigantic sod farm, and it was like the world's greatest yard, the largest yard.
Yep.
And out in the middle would be these kind of like whacked out crazy creatures, these furry forest animals. Us. We were the forest animals, and the forest was like covered with projectile vomit at the time. Why were they vomiting?
Well, because of the use of the bongs and bottles and all of the
and
other
this other stuff, this drug,
these
that,
things,
whatever it is,
drugs,
they call it smack-a-thon.
Hal's not afraid to face the
no, I didn't real. I took more tee-hee-hee than I was supposed to because I won't say the guy's name, but he gave me this bottle of orange juice.
Go ahead, say it. Say
and
his
he,
name.
And I thought, what the hell? I might as well drink it. Well, Mr. Alloway, then, is his name. And I drank...
Mr.
I was drinking
Abbey.
It down, and he said, well, save some for the others. And
so
I realized I was only supposed to take one swallow. And instead, I drank nearly half the bottle. And then it started to get weird.
Quit it.
Because
quit.
I could
give
see
me
right
some
through.
Of that.
He was getting transparent. He wanted to take the bottle right out of my hand. So
give
I took
some,
a rock
quit
and
hugging
I...
it out
I
that.
Get
go! Let go!
And then he turned into a turtle. A big purple turtle. Like
big,
a
fat purple turtle.
Yeah, you right. Yeah, you're. I didn't.
A
I wasn't.
Big.
I wasn't gonna.
He was.
Use
well,
the
he was. He
F
was,
word, but.
Okay, he
let's
was.
Let's say a heavy, a husky
he was
turtle.
Portly. He was a little.
He
portly.
Was a portly turtle. A goodly portly.
He
shape,
was a portly turtle.
A fine plump specimen.
A portly purple. Some
of
might
turtus
say indigo.
Giganticus.
Maybe he was more like indigo.
You know, I think he might actually have been a prehistoric form.
Of purple, indigo,
for one thing, this
turtle.
Unusual carapace.
Could
from
he have
day
been a tortoise?
To the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays.
His massive 13-inch plates,
day.
Each one glistening in the
well, you know,
sunlight.
Size isn't everything. But this flattened carapace is most unusual. No modern species of turtle.
Oh, look out for the flatulence.
But in primordial times, even in the Paleozoic, these early tertiforms first persisted, and then throughout the secondary era, they lasted along with the gigantic Deinosuchi and Dinosauria of the Mesozoic age.
But then the earth cooled and wrinkled like a prune as giant mammoths trumpeted and snow fell on Mr. Turtle's shell.
That's not.
It was a cold time for turtles as they shivered on the trembling ice cap. But suddenly, global warming burst onto the scene. The North Pole melted. Santa Claus sank beneath the permafrost, and foul gases disrupted the ecosystem. Soon there was so much methane from cow fart, Arizona, that the O-hole increased to a grundacious size. Mr. Turtle didn't like this at all, so he decided to burrow. Unfortunately, the position was taken by Mexican donkeys. Yes, it was. It was Michael Pepe.
It was a recording of the real Michael Pepe.
He was there. I know, but
he turned.
How was that show, by the way, with Michael Pepe and many great people?
It was great.
Yeah,
and if you go to the cast party, you will see the film of Michael Pepe as God, and the film of Flash as Joseph.
That's what you were talking about earlier.
And the film of
Satan's
bikini party.
Same new.
They had this great chair where, with a puff of flame, Satan would magically appear in the chair. A great stage illusion. It happens right in front of your eyes. Even they videoed it, and even looking at the video, you can't see how they did it.
You can't get it all.
You can't tell. It's just a...
Okay, so...
And we had the other gods. We had David Calkins as Thor with his giant hammer Mjolnir. And we had Kimrick Smythe as Death in his special Death outfit, which only he can wear because he's got hands that are so large that they'll only stay in these special customized skeleton gloves. And the skull headpiece has a moving jaw, too. It's a nice outfit. And then, of course, there were others. There was the goddess. Well, there was Mary, not Mary Magdalene either, who did a rousing number at the end.
Go get popcorn.
Where she peeled down to her
popcorn.
Popcorn. I didn't know they had that here.
Yeah, they've got popcorn. It's before the next feature starts.
Well, I would, but my doctor.
Because
says
in those
no,
days,
I
you would go to the special big movies, and they would have like 8 minutes of.
I didn't know they were still making special big movies.
Not only intermission, but even before the movie started, we had to
hung
sit
up
through
his cinematic catalog in 1954.
And then,
the Ritz Brothers made
then
their
the movie
last
would start, and they'd be like, well,
Cinerama,
Johnson,
man.
Yeah, exactly.
I
Laurel
love
and
Hardy, Cinerama.
Having
we had special expenses.
How the West was one.
Martin
in special
and Lewis.
Containers.
Nessie and Lou.
Special popcorn boxes. And special.
I don't remember those. But
yeah, everything was Cinerama back then. It was like,
and you get a free plastic dinosaur in every specially marked stripe box.
You know, people were wearing.
Well, kids.
It's everything time was, to stretch.
You know,
and
even the carpet had
visit our snack bar.
Even the carpet had more
soft
loops
drinks,
than any other carpet
colors.
Pile going.
How about a
it was
hot
so
tamale.
Tight. You
warm
could fall on the
good.
Floor of that carpet and never
popcorn.
Wake up. It was just
with
unbelievable.
Of warm,
and
rich,
two giant
used to get down on the floor
ice
in the, underneath the
or
seats
Mr. Polar Bear
while the movie was
the
going
Arctic
on.
Snow.
And now, bite the legs
enjoy
of the
our feature
of
presentation.
Care.
Welcome to the show, caller.
You have a question for? Oh, now,
there's no escape.
They're profane and obscene.
That's like some kind of weird, like almost like a subgenius radio show. But
well, it is, but it's the movie that stars you.
Don't tell me this is not. This is a recording.
This is a recording. Yeah.
Hey,
this is a very sharp. It's
you're
very
going
good.
To the satanic cast party too, aren't you, Mr. Pepe? Aren't you going
there
to the satanic cast party? With
there, look, we're previewing the party now. It's a great
party. Very toothsome.
Uh-oh, I didn't know this was longer.
Very gorgeous toothsome victims have been selected for this particular party.
Right.
You don't want to miss it. And they've got a hot tub and a dungeon.
And a bong, a big bong.
They've got everything.
And a big bong?
You know one thing about that Satan event?
Bong, bong.
It was so well organized. Well, the party is also well organized.
This is the party at Shannon's place, right?
It's in the East Bay, is all I know.
I'm going here. Flash is giving you a ride.
That's right. Flash is giving me a ride. He's going to take me there. And
I want to, too. Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and sure, I'd like to, too, man.
And who knows? We might have, all sorts of satanic delights.
All they care about is party tomorrow night in the East Bay.
Listen to this.
When you say tomorrow night, you mean tonight, or do you mean tomorrow night?
I'm sorry, folks.
Say tomorrow night, but I think you mean tonight.
Hey, man, get some
sleep.
You mean
tonight, you say tomorrow night, but you
man,
mean tonight.
Get some sleep.
All he wants to do is just party all the
all
time.
You
oh, tomorrow
do
night
is
there's a party, and the next
all
night there's a party.
Dude.
Hey, do you remember that one you did?
Listen
you
to his words slurring.
And
it's hard
and
to concentrate
night
because
night,
he's partying
night,
all the time.
Party night.
Do you remember that monologue you did? It was about 11 minutes long.
Heavy breathing, drug abuse.
Well, you know what he did in,
no,
the,
really.
In the Satan show. In the Satan show.
Do you remember that monologue?
In the Satan show,
Michael Pepe did?
Played God.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah. I remember that one.
And he was talking about his sister. Yeah.
You've heard people say, you know, I don't want to play God. But he did play God.
Easy, the most beautiful girl that ever lived.
Who?
And I want to ask on the over the air now, Razizi's hand in marriage.
Is she the one, is she the stripping nun? Who are you talking about? She is?
She's the stripping nun.
She'll be there. She'll be divesting herself of her inhibitions in the hot tub. And we want Lizzie Borden. Oh, yeah, she'll be there, definitely. Yeah. We had Lizzie Borden also. She did a dance.
I love cutting woman.
Yeah.
But you have to be in costumery.
She brought her axe.
You cannot
mind
have
if I ask you a question? Well, she had her axe and gave her husband 40 whacks.
Well,
you have to wear costumery.
She gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. No, you don't have to wear no costume. But if you got a pair of Diebel horns, you could stick them on.
I haven't had those since I was about 12.
I've got mine. And I've got the ears, the chin.
I just chopped that thing. I didn't know the thing was moving, man.
That's the tail. It squirms on its own. See, it's got springs. It's got a little sting on the back.
Oh, come on. Put that away.
Well, I'm not going to unfold these wings inside the room because it's bad luck. But
I think just that's nasty, right?
And look, these are special. Look close. These are contact lenses. They make give your eyes those slit black eyes. The glowing effect is actually just a reflective layer.
Some people like that.
Is Katie Bell going to be there?
Well, she already did her number, but she'll probably be there, yeah. I would imagine so.
I want to come over later.
Over later? What are you talking about?
I can't go there until 11 o'clock.
Well, if it's any kind of
medicine,
you think Satan's party is going
to
close up before 11 o'clock?
Really?
On Friday night? Come on, what kind of Satan? What kind of party? What kind of...
I know.
What kind of...
Insane. That's not satanic at all.
Why'd you take your face off like that?
Did
though?
You take your medication?
It's a crying shame. It's a compromise.
I saw that movie.
Would you quit compromising?
Well, yes. It's a position.
Just rip your face
I have to
off.
Take a position.
Rip your whole face off. Change your whole.
Here, that may be good for you, but I'm attached
it's the legacy
to my face
of your triple
from behind.
Face.
That's right. Or triple your money back.
Look, this face.
She said something about your face just then.
My face is full
face
of sorrows.
You know, we're going to take recruitment for your face. We're going to recruit people for your face.
For your face, just to help your face.
And then the face doctors will take all of the little souls to X Day.
Pale.
That's right.
Specter thin.
So, Michael Pepe, you and Hal are going to X Day this year?
We're about to think is to
only
be full
if
of
we
sorrow.
Get paid in air.
Well, yeah, I heard that that what's
Stang
his name?
Will
the
never pay if Stang,
he called the show last week. Who?
Governor Rocknar.
Yes, Rocknar. Rocknar was flying you out this year too.
Well, I can't afford to pay for it.
No,
well,
you and Michael Pepe both.
Yours,
oh,
he's
paying for Pepe too.
Yeah.
Well,
if
you
just be quiet long enough to learn these good fortunes.
But what cabin is Mr. Pepe going to stay in? Because
I
have special sleep requirements.
If you're going to go and slur your words like this and fall over,
I'd like to know where they're going to put Mr. Pepe up. Because, you know, as far as cohabitating, we've had issues before.
Isn't there like girl wrestling in the pond there?
See, these are some of the issues.
First, you have to catch your girl. They're Amish up there.
How does the Amish community put up with that kind
of... More narrowly, they are Hutterites.
Well, what are the Clevelanders? That's another whole...
Cleveland, Slats, and St. Louis.
Well, this is
going to
be an incredible day in America.
Take care,
those people are pretty... They're kind of kinky over there, aren't they?
Well, look, all you have to do is sign these special documents, and they'll be processed in the central office.
I would love to go to X-Day.
Chloe's
going.
Tell
Stang, send...
Send more money.
Stang says, send more subs.
Send more
money.
Look,
if you started begging right now, if you went out and started begging right now, you could have enough money to...
Let me tell you something,
You have enough money to send a message to us.
If you didn't know it before, I'm going to tell you a little bit of the hard, cold facts about this whole subgenius stuff. Now, I don't want to let you down too hard, but let me put it this way. The other day, in the mail, by U.S. Postal Service, I got a little package from your friend Stang. And when I opened it up, it was a trivet. That's right, a trivet. And on it was this face of the evil Bob that I designed, mixed with the face of the Bob that Philo found.
This
is a mass-produced subgenius object. Stang's making money off it. What do I get? I get the trivet.
You get a magic leap.
So do you think you're going to get out there? You think you're going to get out to X-ray? You think you're going to get X-rayed and then sent off on the aircraft X-day by Stang? You've got to get another thing coming. You've got to be sent out there by your faithful followers.
Oh.
That's the way to do it. Get your fans to do it, Michael Pepe. That's the way it works for me. That's the way it ought to work for you. If you're going to be a sub-genius, you've got to accumulate the Bobby quotient to get you from place to place.
Legions of fans like ZZ. And
you might as well face it. Most subs don't have
by the way, it's 422.
In the dark. 420?
420 man is leaving.
He left?
He is?
Well,
I just thought I saw shadows just now.
Gall Blanget?
2 minutes late.
I mean, the
Gang Blanket. Snab.
Oh, I got to go then. I'll be back in a minute.
Flib Babbitt. Well, go and do your business, and we'll welcome you back.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Well, you know, he has to leave to answer a necessity.
Do your business, but don't look at it, and just flush it away.
We're in business.
Well,
it's great to see.
You don't...
You do your business, but not on me.
You know, don't...
Don't sit under the apple tree with anybody else but me.
What's the next thing?
Fab gear.
What is next? Tomorrow night. Right.
No, sir. Tonight is
the big party.
Tonight. There is no morning between now and other morning. No other afternoon. Yes, the Latin dative to me.
And ZZ and Katie will be there.
I can't guarantee it.
And Al will be there with Flash and me.
I can't guarantee it. Baby, the tank will be all used up by the time you get there. Puppet.
Yeah.
But
no
I can't
more church
say,
here for you.
I can't say. They're giving it away at the dark room. They're giving it away here and there.
What's it giving away? What? Emperor Norton tickets? What?
Church air.
What are they giving away?
Church air. How many times
church
do we have to say it?
Air.
Church air.
Church
air.
Take that, George Bush.
Stop hurting America.
You're hurting America. And that's what they do. They herd Americans into special compounds. The slaughterhouses racks of Chicago. To be turned into processed meat by the president. Now you heard it here first.
What kind of meat?
Processed meat. You've seen that can in our apartment. Celebrity luncheon meat? That's what it is. Only, I hate to clue you, these folks are smart, but there ain't celebrities in most of these cans. Just ordinary Joes and Janes like you and me. That's what happens. So it's far worse than you think. They're selling a celebrity luncheon meat. It won't do a thing for your neurons, but it might add a few inches to your waistline.
For Squiddly Diddly News, this is Doug Sputnik. Also in the news,
it's just like Burning Man, you know, it's techno music.
Michael Pepe is dancing to techno music in the dust at Burning Man. This is his 36th hour of jumping up and down exhaustedly in the same dusty spot.
Insisting that he doesn't want to leave.
Covered with clay, dust, and dehydrated. With
and
his body
that his life
red
is
as a lobster,
all of this
sunburned from his prolonged and unwarranted nudity.
Well, this is my new exercise program that is... You just jump up and down over and over and over.
And by doing so, you win success in sex and real estate.
People are reporting great, more energy, more of a revived
energy.
more optimism towards life and more of a positive attitude and a feeling of freedom and power. And I've been talking to Sri Chinmoy and
he has three chins.
Tony Robbins. And I'm actually taller than him.
Energy.
Well, you know, it was,
Tony Robbins
was inevitable that
is in town Robin with Donald Trump on a get-rich-quick seminar with Suze Orman and Dr. Phil and all sorts of unsavory
what,
types.
Panel?
They're all here, and one firebomb, just one firebomb in there.
Oprah Winfrey.
In
she's
place.
Not there, but everybody else is that you love
Suze
to hate.
Giuliani.
Suze Orman.
Scooter Libby.
No, Scooter isn't there. Mind. Are you asking for the moon and the stars, too?
Why do you guys have to hate them?
Because they're evil.
With my method of, positive achievement.
The power of positive thinking.
That's
right. I mean, Donald Trump, you like
Trump
that guy?
My,
he's your pal?
Student.
He's your buddy? You
he's
like Donald,
student.
Huh? The Donald? You like him? How about Tony Robbins? You mentioned
I've
him. He's there.
Him.
How about Dr. Phil? You want to hang out with that guy? You want to be with Dr. Phil? What about Suze Orman? Dare to be wealthy. Suze Orman.
Oprah.
Tweaked out, blaring, glaring-eyed businesswoman, robot, automaton, Barbie doll, Stepford wife, bent slug.
Oprah, yeah.
No Oprah. I tell you, they don't dare put Oprah in there. Just like you never see Dick Cheney and Bush together. You know, it's
I was there when Oprah was born.
Yes.
I saw her.
Saw her come out of the egg. A feeble, tiny creature blinking in the sun of the Cretaceous era. Soon night would fall, and the hunting Stenonicosaurus would smell the freshly hatched dinosaur eggs.
This little, tiny stage, and there's a guy on it talking.
It was good. I was there.
And it's inside a little tiny box, and it sits on my desk here.
Yeah.
And this guy just talks, and he's sitting in his kitchen.
Right.
And everything is in neat stacks all around.
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, I'll have a couple of neat stacks. I'll suspend my usual rule.
He's got some nice snacks.
Yeah, with maple syrup
and
spud butter.
Now what we have is the sweeping camera. The camera will sweep through the apartment and show
I'll have
every
two jelly-filled and one bucket of bloater paste.
Interesting to the list.
Bacon bits.
That's a stack.
Are you complaining, caller?
Yeah, I'm complaining.
He's a special chairman for Southern Fried Whiskey.
Have this boring caller always on there. This
I beg your pardon, sir.
Hey, Michael, press the button behind you.
My mother was a lady, sir.
On the radio. Party he's going to. I mean, all the guy does is
party.
Party
on, dude.
He goes to party here, party there. He's party on, dude.
87 years.
What's the deal about? I mean, he's like a perpetual party man.
Let's have a party.
Party on.
You can eat them on the run. Eat them just for fun. Eat them when you have a party.
When are you going to come and like worship me at my party?
Have a tasty snack. Get on the rack.
That's what's going to happen to a Gary Gabreau fan.
Oh, really?
When? Yeah.
Who says?
He'll have the worship me party.
Oh,
well.
When he builds his giant sound studio.
You mean his altar?
Out in his isolated palace.
Yes, we'll come and melt that ice.
You have to drive miles and miles to visit him.
I mean, just the driveway alone is half an hour before you get to
the house. Yes, the driveway car is necessary to get there. Then the getaway car
is necessary to get away from there. Just from the gate to the front door.
When the gate to the front door.
That's some driveway he's got. Some call it US 101.
Oh, right,
the
right.
Moat. You had got to get across the moat because
you
had to
follow
build
the
that
smoke.
Stone bridge. That
finally, when you pass over the troll bridge, you see the drawbridge lowered in the slanting rays of the sun. And
like
two huge trolls standing by the sentry box.
To the main house gate.
With a sigh of despair, the aged warder turns the winch, which lowers the enormous metallic portcullis.
Laser controlled gates between and that 10 miles.
Falls behind you, and you are within the castle keep, ready to go.
And you notice
the second
that the Michael Pepe imitator tape loop hung up.
Why? I scared him away.
Yeah. I thought he pushed that button behind him.
He did, but that. Oh, you're right.
Did he do the hooky low?
Not anymore.
But
he can call back.
Michael Pepe.
So anyway, that's the Saturday night party that you were talking about.
Saturday
I thought there was costumery involved in that.
There's buffoonery, and there might be costumery.
Which one were you talking about? That was.
I was talking about the Satan party. But simultaneously, the Dark Room will present Emperor Norton starting at 7:30.
Tonight.
Yes.
And every night, actually.
No, tonight,
and
Saturday
tomorrow.
Night, and Sunday morning at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Even those performances are selling out.
Sunday morning at 3
a.m. If you don't get there in time, well, 3 in the afternoon, old top, 3 in the afternoon. But if you don't get there in time, well, you have to sit in the aisle or stand on one foot on a stool.
You'd be hopping around, wouldn't you?
Well, it's kind of absorbing. Of course, I've seen it many times, and some of my pals is in it. Yes, and Anomaly, my friend, is in it as Lola Montez, the fiery Spanish dancer. So, it's... And Jim Fornatus plays the irrepressible Emperor Norton. The Emperor of the United States.
And you missed it if you
with
weren't here, what, 130 years ago?
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, he did much for our old place in the early
days. We should do a play about
day.
The woman who about... No, a little bit later in time. A little
the
much
who?
Later.
The what do?
Would... About well, the time my grandma was going to UC
Lotta
Berkeley.
Crabtree is in this play.
She was busted down doors in Chinatown and rescuing young women from their incarceration and bringing them over here to the East Bay to a school that she had established.
Well, in the movie,
to,
I mean, in the play,
Chinese women
at the Dark Room, Emperor Norton
out of the problems they
causes the... they're about to attack the Chinese in Chinatown, and he defuses the situation.
Was it your grandma or was it Emperor Norton?
No, my grandma was going to UC Berkeley then.
Was she wrestling, though? Who
in
was she
a graduating
wrestling?
Class of, I think, 12 people.
Granny, does your dog
she
bite?
Was wrestling
no,
12
child,
people?
No.
Yeah, and graduated right by falling in the bay during the earthquake. Actually, she covered the earthquake for the school paper.
Man, it was the weird way you had to graduate back in those days. You had to fall in the bay. And
there was
a
lot more realistic
jump into
appraisal of what you could do in life.
An eruption. You had to swim into the eye of a hurricane during a hurricane.
Speaking of an eye, did you see that Cyclops cat in the paper?
A kitty
was born with one giant eye in the center of its head.
And then you have to stare down the Cyclops cat.
And,
some lady. Yeah, there was a picture of the little thing.
And you guys probably drew all over it.
I think I already recycled the paper. I'm afraid the kitty only lived for a few hours, but it was an unusual specimen with a gigantic, shiny eye in the center of its forehead. No, the lady who owned it put it in the freezer in the bag.
Well, somebody will get a cool old skull.
Scientists are going to want to study.
They're
going to want to take its DNA and bring it back to life.
But the important thing is, how many colors? How many colors are there?
Turn those colors to the golden days.
Let's see how many colors we have right now.
Well, while you're peering at that illusory equipment, perhaps this is time to read into record the prayer for the dead of space.
54 listeners.
Same
Let's
number.
Refresh. 51. Uh-oh, three of them.
Now, see, the moment you start talking, they get off the air.
They get off the air.
Stay
they
put and
what
record.
It is, they get so happy, they faint.
And they fall and...
they knock their computer off.
They jar the computer and...
they knock their square-headed girlfriend right onto the floor.
They fall down the cliff.
This is no video game. This is real. All too real. And we accept no liability or responsibility.
It's so weird because it's like this show is... something's messed up about it.
Huh?
The show is messed up.
Are you saying that we lack organization?
No, no. If you look over, you can see. See, look at Philo. Oh.
I'm seeing him, but he looks kind of derezzed.
Is that you? No, you're there. The other guy went away. He got scared.
Well, I'm sort of scared myself. I'm not sure whether I'm here. I could be another one of your special effects here.
No.
See, that's the problem. Philo, there are two Philos. One's a little bit, two frames past the other
one. Isn't one of them real?
One of them is, but you can't tell which one.
Well,
because he'll just
care.
Stay two frames behind the other one.
You know, I'm too old to care. As long as one of them's real, it doesn't matter.
Well,
I don't want two fake ones.
I just thought
how
you had to wear a costume
real?
On this show.
The one
how
that's
real
you.
Is real?
The one that's actually you. The other one's a fake. I assume there aren't two of you. There couldn't be two of you.
It's a mannequin of me.
Or
that's real.
Could they?
It's a real mannequin. It's a real fake.
It's just some dummy. No offense, man. I'm not. I'm talking about the other, the doppelganger, the duplicate, the android copy, the humanoid synthetic replicant.
The guy who's in our Hitler, not the real one.
you know, if you're on the moon with Hitler,
and who got to keep those marionettes from that movie?
Being and puppets. Jesus is right.
Wow, Hitler, Himmler, and Hess, and
the Hitler's
on the moon. Yeah. I thought only Hitler made it to the moon.
The moon of Uranus.
I have I still have They Saved Hitler's Brain. Is that fun to watch? I haven't watched it.
I never saw it. Had to have it they saved his brain.
You just got to have it sitting on the shelf.
Well, does it
so
do
you
anything?
Read the title of it.
I mean, they saved Hitler's brain, but did they hook it up?
Yeah.
I remember seeing the little head bouncing around.
They saved Hitler's
brain. That was in the day when everything was about the heads, the brain that wouldn't die. And
it makes more sense to try to save the head than the brain. But
did you read about the young man who is going to be forced to either bury or burn his parents? Speaking of which, his father and father, totally man, believed in cryogenics.
Oh, no.
And about not crying right into the future. And so he's kept them in cryostasis.
But
in
now
the
he has
basement.
To burn them up?
Now he's got to burn them or bury them.
Who says?
The courts of France.
Rednecks? Oh,
a couple days ago. Because, they said it's a health issue. They took him to court on health issues.
Well, this has been tried before by the National Institute of Coordinated Experiments, or NICE. And the technique is called perfusing a severed head, which means actually to keep all life functions going through the use of special equipment. Blood must be circulated, and of course has to be the right type, and pumped through the major vessels, which is easier to do than actually, talking about taking out a brain is kind of nonsense. You can't take it out without severing all the important nerve connections. Because technically, the brain is not just the knot of soft tissue that fills the skull within the layer of dura and pia mater. The brain is also actually the major nerves of the body. Let's follow this series down. First, the olfactory, the optic, the oculomotor nerve, the trochlear nerve, the trigeminal, the spinal accessory,
the
abducens nerve, and the hypoglossal, among
I think
others.
We're losing this collar fast.
But the medulla oblongata is also part of the brain. In fact, all the nerves that go into the body.
They are hyper alive from listening to
and
this
radio
program.
And can you move
program.
These out? Can you be like Apollo was to the satyr Marsyas and jerk a guy's brain and nerves out of his body? No, science cannot do that. So what? It makes more
the
sense.
The Egyptians could.
Well, but they didn't save it. Save it because they thought in the afterlife it would be regenerated.
I know. So, that's a real problem when you wake up in the future with your head full of
cotton. Many experimenters have tried to keep the brain itself alive, but...
The problem is that when you do get to the future, you meet JFK as a black man, and...
I know, and then
the guy from
and a
Living
mummy
Dead
attacks Elvis, and
Elvis.
And, right, yeah, I know, but those are other problems. There are many problems. You have to solve the ones that are immediately in front of you before you can solve the more abstract problems that are coming along later. Right. So to perfuse the head, although not
we
a
still
final,
have to do this. There's a quiz.
Well, it's a complicated procedure. I just wanted to outline some of the earlier surgical.
To profuse this whole head.
But I don't know if the operation can be performed in that time. At least the if this is the only time we have, I haven't even washed up. You've got to scrub up.
We're on
this is not Newt Gingrich. It looks like it. It's somebody. I don't know who. Some guy. I think that it's the name on the card is Michael Oud or Odd. It's OOD or ODD, but it couldn't be Odd, so it must be OOD. Oud. This guy, this head, his name was Michael Oud. Oud, O-O-D.
It's their instrument, you know?
Anyway, this is him. I was him. It's only a piece of dead tissue. We can put it to work for us, like a living organic computer. In fact, what is really amazing is you can hook these heads up in series and duplicate and replicate the brain power on an exponential level, creating a human computer. The only problem is the element of volition left in these captive brains, which have to be compelled to solve the problem. By using coercive methods involving refinements to stimulation of the trigeminal nerve in the helpless occiputs, it is generally possible to achieve a complete state of obedience and even after an initial.
See, what happened is the Overman is now in a cryostasis of his own.
Other indications, this is not a successful procedure. Therefore,
and he still thinks and he still can speak to us and communicate with us.
Element must be employed, as performed in the Third Reich by doctors Stepling, Kroner, and Heidrich.
Some of the more remote islands, the Targo cult still thrive today.
These are the Isles of Langerhans. Their job, to regulate insulin in the body and the sugar intake of the organism.
Venerate religious relics such as
our perfused head will lack kidneys and other things to filter the blood. But without a digestive system, it will not need to cleanse the blood of the usual pollutants. No, in fact, it will have the opposite problem. It will be unable to build tissue because it will not receive the nutrition. And first, the muscles of the disused head will atrophy, then rotting upward from the stump, the effective life of the perfused head comes to an end. But until the very last moment, it can be kept alive in speechless, howling agony. Thank you.
Look, if you go to DrGeneScott.com, you can get endless...
No, it looks like Dr. Gene Scott. This guy's name, actually, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's spelled O-O-D. Either that or O-D-D, but I think it's O-O-D, and the first name is clearly Michael. So, there you have it. Enough head severing. We still have time for some other experiments on Wissenschaft, or whatever it is. The Cruel Secrets of Nazi Science, Part 7, on Puzzling Evidence.
Not unlike when I was 14, I think the one we checked out the most was torture techniques.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with saving the Führer's brain. That was a total different experience.
No, and it was those Colonel Rex Applegate series. Did I tell you about him? I even read his picture.
Was he like, what's that other? A colonel,
He was from the Wild Bull Donovan times.
Oh, yeah?
And he continued to teach CIA agents.
The Office of Strategic Service.
Into the, what's going on here? Into the 60s and 70s. And then died, I guess, in the 80s or 90s.
I think.
A picture. I thought he was a fake pseudonym, but he wrote many, many, many books.
Philo, this temperature is too low. We're going to lose the head unless we increase the fluid temperature by at least a degree.
Brittleize the back.
Let's keep this thing running.
Because what happens is, everything becomes so brittle because of the constant freeziness.
I know. Well, the cryogenesis is very harmful and stressful and can only be gone through once, they say, by the subject.
Did you know that
the UNO.
The back of the...
The backside of the brain.
The backside of...
The buttocks of the corpus callosum.
The backside of reality, actually.
You see these two lobes here? This is the rear aspect of the
like
brain.
You mean like between these slats?
These slats
cerebellum. On the side of the wagon, like we're in a...
But don't take my word for it. Call 1-800-338-3030. That's 1-800.
It was like being in the back of a wagon. 3030. You know, going across the
this procedure is not expensive,
during,
and we will pay all costs
Western
of the operation.
Times,
if you choose to give our head,
the children would be in the back of the coast of the wagon,
head,
and they would, like,
you know what I'm saying.
Peep.
Just call 1-800.
And they would see the landscape going by on the
don't
side of the
that
slats.
Guy, folks.
Of the wagon.
Show.
We're just providing a service
and,
here.
They could see reality. That was their Conestoga view of reality.
Yes, as if one ever could see reality.
Seeing the
if
Indians
we could see the loathsome
land,
face of reality, we would shiver and screech with madness.
Donner party
the
Donner
stoppers,
they were
faces
for
of
dinner.
The elder
the
gods.
The children, that's where the children saw
universe.
Reality was
the
like
unfathomable
a Conestoga
horrors
view.
Of infinite madness.
And they were peeping on down on the backside of reality. If they were on the back of the wagon, it would be like the back side of reality, and they could peep it, you know, peep in there, peep down,
beep.
Into it. Like,
well, I intuited that they could, when I peeped into reality, I might see what I didn't like. And sure enough, That was like a crazy carnival in there. All kinds of colors and merry-go-round horses.
And you were just
and
like a creepy old guy with white hair and a beard.
The Midway, yes, I know.
Around with droopy eyes and
but
smiling.
But it's a job. It's just, a gig.
You were
somebody's
smoking
gotta run
a cigar. You had flowers.
Somebody's got to keep the geek in line
you
and
got
the gorilla
the
man.
Formulas on the board, they don't make any sense to anybody because it's a special symbolic language that you're the only one that understands it.
They're not even in focus,
and
Farnsworth.
They're
and
not,
neither am I.
But, I mean, that's not the point. Because your point is just to take people off onto some wild tangent into some different, separate, alternate universe, one where you can set up the rules, one where you can say what's supposed to happen,
yes.
And everybody else is supposed to just tag along in your special universe that's got
pretty much the subject
where everybody has these pink socks on, and there's these padded green walls that don't match anything, and you're all eating this kind of like sponge cake, like it's supposed to be the, you know, the gourmet meal of the century.
Like a
that's
naked
the kind of thing that we're talking about.
Striving
people can,
the blast
can follow down. They see those symbolic
cherubim,
rules. They see those languages,
the sightless couriers of the air
that nobody
shall blow
can speak.
The
nobody can understand it. They can see it. It's flying around in front of their eyes.
30.
But what are you supposed to do? You're just, you don't get a job. You don't get any itinerary. You just wander around like with your thumb up your...
Woo!
Well,
a warm
and
thumb,
what
I
are
hope.
You supposed to? You know, I mean, what do you do here? When are we going to get the itinerary of the
well, first we have to let the
do?
Head live out its pathetic allotted lifespan.
This head thing is getting way too much. I went by the garden; it was full of heads, and they're all
well.
Just,
we have to keep
know,
them hooked
up
in up. Series. You
the
weren't
birds were
to
feeding
ever.
Them their worms.
Well,
they, and
the birds are actually plucking
be...
worms out of them. It's a service that
well,
they do. They arrest the process of decay
because of that.
Try to use all natural procedures. Nature's
we beg you to call right now, and you can then
join
tell
the
us why we keep doing this. What
you know,
that
you can
folks
be in our normal contest about
the prophet and sage Melchizedek was fed by special birds who flew out of the sun every evening with a live coal to deposit in the
now,
prophet's mouth.
You think it's
and monkeys
he
alive.
Would open his mouth and above his white beard,
wow.
Each bird would drop a flaming coal into his
oh,
mouth.
That's not coal.
The source of his wisdom. Come on, they're trying to keep it clean for the kids.
Yeah,
it looks sort of like
that
coal.
Wasn't a flaming coal. It was a
all
flaming
right.
Hole.
What are you...
It's a flaming hole.
We're trying to do something romantic here. Turn this into something. Oh, my. Now you're going to hawk.
I'm sorry.
All right. Go
here,
ahead.
Take it. Take this.
That's
me,
all right.
Take this. Ooh.
It's a goober. I don't want it.
I don't know what to do with it. Here, I'm rolling it into a big ball.
This ball is
something
the human
is
nervous
news.
System.
Oh.
What you do to
in
keep
other news,
from striking
the
is
Bay
to
Area. Protested against the
by
crazy, crazy
forces.
Goings on.
Keep it floating above your chest and 2 inches
no avail.
From your chin. This is
as the people cheered
motto.
Their heroes.
It will keep you from all.
High over Berkeley, clearing the runway below them
right.
As they.
The secret of human-powered flight without
strafe the runway.
Aircraft or lifting agency. It is possible for an individual
their
operator
ancient
to
ballistics equipment
achieve the age-old dream of flying,
taking out all
the
windows the as
air.
They went by.
Many have asked how
sonic
this is
booms
possible.
Were reverberating.
And we have a question sheet here from people who have seen our aerial exploits and are somewhat curious about them. The first question is: how fast is it possible for a human to fly unaided once he has gained this power? Well. Fast enough.
Terminal velocity.
Yeah, it's not terminal unless you whack into something, which it's quite possible to do because it's hard to judge your speed when there's nothing around you. But the speed, your top speed, is, of course, the same as the speed of a fast fall.
Right.
Since essentially, by your controlled flight, you are simply deflecting gravity to be your propulsive
agent. The actual speedage?
I didn't measure it myself.
I believe
but
it's 170.
You can go so fast that in order to breathe, you have to turn your head down in order to get some air. Otherwise,
yeah.
You can't breathe against the column of air that's hitting you in the face.
Well, I can,
so
yeah,
that's
not
fast
only
enough.
That, it's hard
but,
to breathe
course,
in that,
show
in that vacuum.
By transecting the usual
you.
Flight path, you don't have to go
listening
that fast.
To this program,
but you don't care.
The problem with flying is, of course,
proven that
the major
an
problem
idiot.
Is landing. I should describe the various
you're
ways
an,
of landing.
You're an idiot.
If you can't master
you're
landing,
in trouble too.
You have no business flying. And in the personal flying program, I, Dr. Howland Dowell, can teach you how to leap off housetops, skyscrapers, and cliffs and perform the miracle of human-powered flight. And most importantly, as you will find out, come in for a harmless landing.
You'll think you're in control.
It's exhilarating.
But you won't be.
You'll be delighted. It'll add years to your life, and no sensation can describe the carefree process of lifting off and joining the birds as they circumvent that inverted bowl we call the sky. But beware, there are many objects in your space that you're not willing to recognize.
You're flying in your dreams?
Yeah, sure, all the time.
You do?
Sometimes I only get up about 12 feet off the ground.
You have to, like, use your arms to sort of, like, escape.
Yeah,
gravity.
You have to flap with your arms.
Or jump a little bit.
You have to do all that. But it's not dignified. But once you get up there...
When you get up there, how do you fly? Are you, like, standing or sitting or prone position?
You make the most effort in the powered part where you take off. But after you get up, you only need to volplane a little bit.
You know what I do? I'm sort of like this. See, look, imagine... listener can imagine that I'm sitting in a chair. I've got sort of up.
Dr. Drummond is one of the best human flyers there is. So you should listen to what he says. All right, come down. No, don't do it now. He's up in the by the ceiling, folks, by the control room. The replacement's gonna come in. So
okay.
Just come back down to your seat there.
Quite comfortable if you do it in a sort of a sitting.
Well, I like the way you do it, but I learned to do it the way I did it, and I don't think I can learn another way without getting fatal lack of confidence. Because that's another thing. You must be confident that
you
can do it.
You're flying in your dreams.
So much of it is it's automatic. In your dreams, you're actually keeping alive the memory of how to do it. This accounts for the certainty you sometimes feel that you could fly, that you have just as you wake up.
But why would a human
then
care
you forget
about
it.
Flying in their dream? Why do they need to preserve
the
this
dreams
memory?
Are part of human atavistic evolutionary baggage and the hardwiring of the nervous system back from the time when early humans
actually flew,
were able to fly to escape their enemies. Now, recently, the bones of early hominids have been uncovered with the marks of bird attacks on them. A giant bird apparently seized a human in flight, or a subhuman of some kind.
Where the human was flying,
and the bird, a predator, attacked the human. It was probably a child, not a full-grown adult human. Well, I never heard of it until I read about it last week.
Well, that's what's actually made the story of...
Daedalus and Icarus.
Daedalus and Icarus.
Yes, well, Minos, tyrant of ancient Crete, imprisoned the great scientist Daedalus in his labyrinth and caused him to build many wonderful devices for the kingdom. But he, one of the earliest discoverers of human-powered flight, managed to fly with his son off the island. But his son crashed, as we all know, in the strait now known as the Icarian Strait.
It was human flight. Because
it was human-powered flight. No machine was necessary.
The legend says they put these were wax wings.
He used wax to attach the feathers to the wings, but the wings are guidance structures.
True wings that they grew through a grafting technique.
They were structures. They were built in the labyrinth by Daedalus, but they are only... The wings... do not give you the lift. The wings just give you speed. They perfect your human ability to fly. But believe me, folks, I, Dr. Howland Owl, can teach you. It's an easy trick, like riding a bicycle. Once you learn, I can make you take off into the air. As I say, you will never go faster than the speed of a fast fall, but you'll find that is fast enough, especially when descending, which you wish to avoid. Landing is the problem. Flying is easy.
You know, terminal velocity.
In addition, I'll tell you all the secrets of my special course in sex and real estate. But I think we're running out of time now on our program. We have a few radio chores to do. Have to slop the hogs and milk the chickens, put out the lights, burn the barn, take out the trash, wash the windows.
Clean the socks.
Yeah, the socks. I forgot about the socks. They're the missing, lost, and mismatched socks. Incidentally, folks, if you want a copy of my award-winning book, the meaning of lost and mismatched socks, you can get one from me. I have a few copies. I have to sell them. I can't give them away.
No.
I had to buy them from the publisher, my own publisher. So So, contact me. Yes, I will autograph it, exponentially increasing its value. Get a hold of me, Dr. Howland Owl, care of this radio station. And I have also added an index to this book and profusely illustrated it. Yes, I tell you where the lost and mismatched socks go. It is a thoroughly scientific work, although it indulges in an element of fictional speculation toward the end. Nonetheless, I do say, in an allegorical form, what the fate of this missing footwear is, and what its final destination is, and even how you might go there.
My boss liked it, and she thanked you for your autograph.
Oh, she liked it, did she?
Yes, she did.
Well, cool. I'm glad I managed to autograph it. If you need more copies, I desperately need money, so contact me at any time.
Oh, did you get the ALA?
Oh, actually, no. When did you mail it?
It went out Monday.
Oh, okay. No, it hasn't come. If it comes and I have to go down and get it, that's fine. But if I miss it, then I'll have to go to the post office and wait in line with a little pink slip and then hump it back through the dangerous, teeming slum district in which I live, to the derision of spectators and small children.
It's time for donuts.
But it's worth it to drink the Miracle Elixir Ale 8, not for sale in this quadrant.
Only available in sports plans.
And fairly soon, I'm going to get a DVD that fell off a truck and be able to see all 70 salacious episodes of Caesar's Wife above suspicion.
I'm telling you, borrow Philo's.
Borrow Philo's? No, just borrow Philo's.
Saint Lies thinks that he has some doodad, some gadget that he can hook up to the device and
make it work.
Well, he thinks that.
So he thinks.
I've had competent operators look over the system and they assure me it is an inert mass of metal and plastic. It will never show pornography again.
This is stinking bacon.
Yes. Well, I...
That's how they used to do the show?
Yeah, that's how they usually end it. They say that, and then they go to eat donuts.
With the sight of the unthinkable bliss of the Godhead. Angels in the form of a rose surrounding the divine emanation.
Like puzzling evidence.
The brilliant light of light.
The puzzling evidence show.
The soft voice.
On KPFA.
The luminous cloud. We in ourselves.
The longest running show.
And thence comes
in the history of American radio.
All
or
melody,
so they claim.
The echo of that voice.
So they say.
All
so
colors as a fusion of that light. The brilliant white light
of Jared R. Bob Goggs. The Overmind.
Danger will be over any second.
And I think the danger's over now. I think the show can begin.
Hardly started. Yes, there
the show
is
hardly started.
True danger. Spiritual danger and, of course, physical danger. All there, the possibility of infinite degradation and infinite corruption. So welcome to our program. Here we see Bubba Butkus, the world's first postal toastmaster, as he consoles himself with intoxicating liquors in his swinging bachelor pad. And in the background, there's actually some guy lifting weights. I mean, what kind of a... Oh, well. Dan now rooting through the refrigerator. You know, this is a roommate problem. I might as well say, what happened to my bottle of Worcestershire sauce? Where's my half-clove?
I drank it. I ate it.
Some muscle man came in and chewed it up.
Yeah, somebody else did it.
Garlic helps me with my lifts.
Well, who invited you? In their luscious split-level house, it's time for the alcoholic member to
Hector and Lecter while he swills the sauce.
Liquid slag.
Well, in the meantime, Bruno, the sweaty weightlifter, gapes in incredulity at his partner's puissance. And you know, this irritating face I've seen in so many bad late-night movies. And, well, I wit,
irritating
I know
guy.
It well, wot ye well, ye wis. I know who this guy is, I know, and boy, would I like to... Oh, what was that? No, are you getting that? There's a transmission of some kind coming in. It's exterior to this. It's not generated from inside our building.
It's the constant callers.
What? You're going to call the show? That's
you know,
great.
I met a caller
on the
train.
Do you know how to call 848-4425?
I met a caller on the train who took, I went over here with him and...
In the 510 area code?
That's just so. And then we did perform the sacred
a caller called. See, these are what happened when the people on the show get so happy that the caller called. Now, here's the exterior shot of the caller's house.
Just look at this vast tower.
How do you even know I have
And there's the caller.
Steel,
with all the other people, and this is a caller call.
Oh, no, and now they're about to be lectured by Artie Johnson.
But what caller am I?
You're the one on the right.
Ah, yes.
The woman.
Caller, moving a little closer to the other one. There.
Okay, other caller. You're the one on the left. Oh, Artie wants you to move over there.
See, there's enough natural light here. That's right. Link your arms.
Yeah. Now, look like you're happy to be talking to us.
Imagine you're happy to be in the 1970s.
Yeah. Straighten up your clothes there.
What do you see?
Button up your overcoat.
Well, you can say whatever you want. If you're watching Channel 44, you'd be watching us, too.
That's true. You'd be watching...
We're watching Channel 44 right now.
Okay,
powder up your face here, because that's the way you have to be
Chester
on the show.
Chester Yokel gets a powder job while he waits in some...
Now, remember, these people in the movie, these are all somebody's parents now.
It could be, or it could be that their lives petered out like an overdone sparkler on the 4th of July.
There they go, like a little balloon in the corner of the room.
Yes, they burned their candles at both ends and became puffy lumps of wax in the present era. Here we see Artie is getting ready to
waving his arms around the way
photographers
did.
Win him the Pulitzer Prize as he photographs Debbie and Don for the 8 o'clock nudes.
Meanwhile, Billy and Timmy go to snort some cocaine in the back room.
Is it cocaine or some sort of psychedelic powdered fish extract? Careful, keep your hands away from your crotch while talking to Lilibel.
On the fake set, here's an apple, symbolically. Get it?
Yes, they both have them. The woman gave to me and I did eat. It wasn't my fault, Lord. It was her, and that's
me. It was the set. It was the business. It was the... Gosh, you're going to call the show, too? Really?
Did you eat of the tree which I commanded of you that ye not eat?
Well, drop in the woman's voice.
Yeah, kind of. Sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, I call. She's admitting to calling the show once.
If you call it, I mean...
Really?
I
well, how can you hit yourself over all that garbage in the play?
Now, Lulabelle is... not able to understand in this primordial day.
What?
She has transgressed against the will of mighty Jehovah One, cosmic, malign, and somewhat senile space god. She is a veil down to the slender waist her unadorned golden tresses wore, save for a hairband, in that happy state. Suddenly the weight of sin and the realization and the knowledge of good and evil crash in, failing to impress the moronic...
That poor caller guy. He suddenly realizes what his job is in Hollywood.
I think he realizes little.
Well, he realizes he might have a shot with...
He's far away from any kind of realization.
Hey, where's Janer?
In his brow.
I thought we were watching...
Oh, and here's Janer now, arriving with the limousine because you said it on the radio.
Hollywood premiere of Janer.
Wow, look at that.
Picture.
He's the most successful of all the sub-deanies
now. The cops are pushing back the crowd now, the buzzing
swarm. Hi, Janer. Hi, Janer. Everybody's waving there. Janer's arrived with a beautiful transvestite, and he's going into Hal's house now.
And Janer may not realize that is a transvestite. And now
here's Ivan Stang's limousine. Yep, there's Ivan Stang.
Yes, well, no, that's Ivan Stang's Egyptian footman.
Oh, oops, there's someone else.
Mrs. Stang.
Yes, and there's Ivan. Oh, there's Ivan, of course. How silly of me, the cowboy hat. I thought for a minute there it was...
Yes, Mrs. Stang air kisses Dom DeLuise there, and then there's Lothar in the background.